We are going to take a delve inside the gray area because Greg Gunderson has found his way into the studio, the busiest 98Q employee of the last couple of weeks.
Took me a little longer than I promised, but I did get here.
You made it. We made it. Had a good weekend. Saturday was a lot of fun visiting with listeners and just getting to meet some of the people we've talked to on the phone and stuff. So it's just kind of cool. It was just a fun social gathering at the home show.
It was, and we had a good time broadcasting live, popping around. It's interesting looking around those booths with broadcast eyes. You know, if I'm going around there, I'm looking for baked goods. I'm looking for somebody with a neat deal on Stormy Cromer from Bader Sports Center. But going around with a microphone in my hand, I feel like it's not the right word, but I feel like a little demon. You know, it's just like, all right, what kind of fun can we have at the Phillips Sport Home and Craft Show, but on the radio? You know, there's a little bit of, it's a gremlin or a goblin. Those are the right kind of words, like the little radio goblin at the show.
And there's always a certain people where you walk up to their booth and you describe on the air you heard it, where we'd say what the business is, and we would say, you want to come on the radio? And if you could look at the look on the person's face, if they could jump right into my head and just rip my face off and say, no!
Well, there's two things. in common with those people. First of all, they don't say the word no. They just they don't use words. Second of all, they don't need to say no. You can you can feel it in the air. It's electric. Just no, exactly
it's
like you said.
Just like the discovery of a bee's nest when you're outside.
Yes.
It's just you look around. You're like,
I'm suddenly tempted to be that creepy jerk I saw in Willy Wonka. Just you're alive with 10,000 people. You really have nothing to say? Come on, poke. Like no, I'm not. I would hate that if it were me. That's like that's got to be right there with having people sing happy birthday to you in a restaurant. It's just like, you know what? I'd cease to exist rather than do this right now if I could. Just pop. There I go. I'm gone.
And a Willy Wonka reference for a Monday morning. Life is good. Crayola. Today is, what did I say? I wanted to talk crayons.
It's Random
today.
Nouns Day, apparently.
Today is National Crayon Day. Crayola crayons, of course, were the original. I don't know if they were the original, but that's kind of what you think about when you think
crayons. They've got enough money to say so.
So what do you, first thing you think, when I say crayons, where does that take you in your youth? Where does it take you?
Kindergarten. You know, just the easy associations. I'm a bad artist when it comes to drawing and those kinds of media.
Me too.
I know, Mrs. Miller, you were so nice, but when you saw my crayon drawing, she must have thought, oh boy, I'm going to have to work a little extra with this one.
I could never stay within the lines. I just couldn't do it. And it's just, I was just absolutely horrible at anything artistic.
You know, that might be the better measure of how bad I was that staying in the lines was like, I remember feeling really good that I stayed really well in the lines on this picture. Like, man, there's some kids out there making real art, and I wasn't.
And crayons, I'm old enough where crayons became a status symbol because I was in school when the 64 box of Crayola crayons came out with
the sharpener. I knew right where you were going. I was like, but did it have the sharpener? That was it. That was the sentence that came into mind. My kindergarten self is still there. Do you have the sharpener?
It was unspoken, but when someone showed up to the first day of school with a 64 box of crayons and a sharpener, it was just assumed that family was wealthy.
See, I was in grade school before the middle class ceased to exist. So I was from the group of kids whose parents had a choice. You know, like we could have been the Rose Art kids or the Crayola kids. And there was a difference because those Rose Art, that was more wax than dye. Those weren't good crayons. Yeah. But you didn't talk about it. We all just knew that the Rose Art was, you know, they spent a little less on the label on the crayon. So my parents, though, like they could have gone either way. There was, you know, we went out on Fridays, but didn't live in the big mansion. We were right in that middle ground. But my parents didn't know what would have done the best for me when it came to street cred. So I had the Rose Art because they cost less on the shelf label. And it's like, you know what, Mom, you didn't have to save that dollar. I could have used the cred that it would have bought me that I still, you know, it's like compounding interest. If I had started with that nest egg of street cred, I'd have built so much more. I'd have an empire by now. But nope. Nope, I had Rose Art crayons, and so I'm back in my hometown.
You see, because speaking of the 64 box of crayons, back then you brought crayons to school. There wasn't like a a trough of crayons there at the school. There wasn't a trough of pencils. There wasn't even Kleenexes, I don't think. You brought what you needed.
Yep.
And if you had the crayons, you had them. And if you didn't, well, the teacher might have a little stash and would help people out a little bit. But it was definitely, no doubt about it, a status symbol if you had that crayon sharpener with your entourage of, and then all the colors. Oh my, the discussion of the colors of the 64, that looks like blue. Well, that's not blue. That's Aqua Lake or whatever.
I think I'm about to have a therapy moment because I'm thinking back to first grade. Jess Herbst, shout out to you for putting up with my first grade self when you were there at St. A's.
Do you want to kick back and relax a little bit and make this a therapy session?
I need all a right. fainting couch all right. here.
Tell me about it,
Gray. I just want to put out an apology to a guy named Tanner Dixon, who was one of my classmates. I think he left after like second grade, and he's out there somewhere living life. He has no idea I'm talking about him here at Park Falls Radio. But Tanner, I ruined your color-changing markers, and you were really cool about it. You were disappointed. I remember it, but you didn't say anything to me that a kid might have said if another kid goofed, and like, you're really cool for that, so thank you, Tanner Dixon, for letting me. You didn't let me ruin them, but like, you could have done things that you didn't do that would have been fair. So like, yeah, though, he had these really cool things where you took this clear marker and you colored in the place you were going to color, and then you put the colored one down, and when you thought you were going to get blue, you get orange or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I did it backwards. I put the blue down, and then I took the magic clear marker and colored over the blue.
Uh-oh.
Which did in fact make it orange, but it also made the magic clear marker blue.
Yeah.
So from then on, the magic, I took all the magic and I poured it onto my paper, and Tanner never got it again.
Oh, poor Tanner Dixon.
Yeah. Yep. That's like, that's an emblematic thing. Like, I look back at that day and I do things differently because of it.
To this day, he wakes up in the middle of the night. Greg Gunderson.
You know, I've shared this, Joel, and I think I feel worse somehow. This hasn't helped. Tanner, right. I hope you feel better.
Well, let's move on to opening day, because today is opening day, and maybe Tanner Dixon will be watching the opening game today or listening.
He was an athletic young man. I bet maybe he's probably into baseball.
All right. Was he the son of John who coached football?
Probably.
Okay.
You got to remember, like I said, he left in second grade, which meant that he vanished from the universe as far as my A's mind was concerned.
Gotcha.
And I wasn't cool enough to be friends with the ones who circled back after high school, so it's like, yeah.
So baseball opener today, the home opener for the Brewers at AmFam Field. This is the 24th year of Brewer baseball. 24 years that stadium's been around. And I was reminiscing about the fact that DJ Rick and I were at AmFam Miller Park opening day. I was trying to figure out if opening day happened before or after 9/11, and it happened April 6th of 2001, so it happened before the 9/11 attack on our country. But I remember that day so very clearly, because just like this year, the Brewers had played three games previously on the road and lost all three. They were 0-3. And Davey Lopes was the manager of the Brewers. And he was a kind of a surly type anyway. He wasn't Mr. Congeniality by any means. So when DJ Rick and I are on the field, I remember very clearly standing between the first and third baseline, and there's a pool of reporters, 8 or 10 people with microphones that are talking to Davey Lopes about the opening, about this beautiful stadium. Oh, everybody's seeing it for the first time, and everybody's just feeling the joy. And Davey Lopes was like a wild cat in a cage. He was just mad that the Brewers had started 0-3. He was not buying into the joy of opening day at all. He was not in a good mood. And I remember we all walked away from that short press conference saying, wow.
Yeah.
He was not happy at all.
Well, I mean, not like it was going to happen, but I know if I'm him and I've got that pressure, I'm picturing losing 4 in a row, including the opener at this new stadium, and thinking, yeah, you guys are all having fun. I'm about to get fired. My job security is on the line in a way that a new stadium just doesn't touch. So yeah. I think I'd be Davey Lopes too in that scenario.
Yeah, I'm over your right shoulder. I've got the media pass and a photo of me standing behind home plate at Miller Park on opening day when Rick and I went there. And we went back the following year also post 9/11. And I remember that even more so than I remember opening day, because the security was so heavy, and George W. Bush, for some reason, was at that game. the second year the stadium opened, and I just remember all the security and having to go through scans and everything at the ballpark itself. But it was so much, it was so exciting walking around on the field. And still to this day, Miller Park, I think, has kept, it's kept that newness. It feels new to me still. I don't go to Miller Park and think, man, they got to start replacing this thing pretty soon. It's 25 years. It still feels new to me.
Well, don't forget, nobody goes to Miller Park anymore.
Yeah, I know. It'll always be Miller Park.
Well, so I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, if you think about that, Joel, I'm willing to bet that that was, and maybe this is pulling the curtain back too far, but if you think about it, that was just over 6 months after the attack, after 9/11. So I'm thinking, you know, it's been 6 months. It would look pretty normal for President Bush to attend a baseball game. Who's having their home opener? Which one's getting a little extra attention? So it's pretty easy to imagine if you're the PR team, like, yeah, this is good for the country right now. And truly, I agree. I mean, like I said, maybe it's looking a little more analytically than we should at an emotional moment. But no, I'm betting that was a somebody's smart PR move. Yeah, let's get out to Milwaukee. Let's show the president at a baseball game. I think April of 2020 or 2002, that was probably just right.
Exactly. Well, hopefully the Brewers can figure out how to get somebody out. 36 runs in the first three games. And just hang on just a second here. Hang on. The Yankees just hit another home run. There you go.
We had people stopping by the booth on Saturday. Did they break the record on us? Like, people who are Brewers fans gave up their fandom and were rooting for that home run record because it was
because they had nine home runs, yep, like in the sixth or seventh inning. Didn't they have a couple of innings left to get it, I think?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. They had room and then they just tapered off. Well, I mean, once you get the win and you tap the brakes, you know, that momentum starts to decrease and you start to coast towards the victory as a team.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking one of the first things that goes is that little extra pop that puts them over the fence.
Yeah, and then you're batting against a position player too, which takes a little bit to adjust to, because it's like adjusting from a Major League Baseball swing to a softball swing now, where you're trying to create a launch angle, whereas with a regular Major League Baseball pitcher, you're just making contact and it's just doing it all by itself. So you got Sal Frelick, whoever, out there on the mound throwing 68 miles an hour or whatever they are, and that we had more position players throw innings this past weekend, I think, than we may have all last year for the Brewers.
That's the thing about good players. That's something that you take for granted without ever realizing it. I think a lot of people don't even think about. Bad players can be very difficult to play against for good players because bad players are unpredictable. You know what that good player is going to do. He's going to do the smart thing. So I, as another smart player, I'm expecting you to do the smart thing. Well, if you do something dumb, I might not be ready for it, and because of that, it might work. So it's even more than just the speed change. Like, you'll hear people who play video games or who play chess, it's like, yeah, playing against bad players is awful once you're at that high skill rating because they're just unpredictable. It's like playing a madman. Just like, right, that was a dumb idea, and it might work because I couldn't have... Why would I plan for you to do something that stupid?
Yeah, you don't know whether Sal Frelick's going to throw you an 80-mile fastball or a 45-mile-an-hour knuckleball. You don't know what's coming until it's in the air.
It's Wii Sports out there all of a sudden. Anything is fair game, and that six-year-old who just throws it at the wall might win, man. He might win.
So that's why we play 162 games. It seems pretty bleak right now. The Brewers are 0-3, but you know what? You got the Royals come in, you win a couple in a row, and you know what? You're fine.
We could be 160-3. It's not going to happen, but it's possible.
159-3.
Sorry, bad math.
Close enough.
You get the point.
All right, great. Thank you much.
Thank you.
Greg Gunderson, he'll be in this afternoon from 2 until, no, actually from
end 4, of baseball until
end 7. Of baseball, 4:30-ish until 7. Greg Gunderson
I'll
in the
here.
Afternoon. All right.